Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman.
The 21st century has seen middle-income Americans fall behind financially.
Wages are stagnant for all intents and purposes. That's not a good thing. Unemployment's low, but people are still looking for jobs.
More than 30% of unemployed Americans say they are not working because technology replaced them.
It used to be in this country that you could play by the rules, get a job, know your kids were going to be better off than you.
In the past few weeks on Money Talking, we've been examining issues that workers have been confronting for some time, like why are wages barely rising, and why are men in their prime working age disappearing from the workforce? This morning, economists and folks on Wall Street are going to be digging into the latest unemployment report that comes out today, but that's looking backwards at what's already happened. So I thought it'd be a good time to look forward at an idea that's being floated around as a possible solution to help American workers. It's called universal basic income. And essentially, it means giving every citizen a salary, no strings attached, free money, say $10,000 for every adult. James Surowiecki is a financial reporter with The New Yorker, and he recently wrote about this topic. And James, how exactly would this work?
Well, there are a lot of different ways in which this idea might work, but the simplest one is pretty much what you just said. So you could either do it as the government would cut a check for 10 grand, or alternatively, it could be applied as a tax credit. The problem with using it as a tax credit is if you don't file taxes, you wouldn't get it. So probably the easiest way to do it would be for the government to send everyone a check for 10 grand.
Now, how exactly would this improve the economy if the government is spending so much money and giving it back to citizens like that?
Well, there are a variety of ways in which it could improve the economy, mostly dependent on how you raise the money. So the idea is not that the government would just print the money and hand it out. There is an argument for doing that in the short term, but in the long term, you wouldn't want to do that because presumably it would lead to inflation.
I was going to say, if that much money is circulating around, wouldn't that just mean it's going to cost more to buy things?
Right, exactly. But in this case, it would actually be presumably the result of taxes. So you would either raise taxes on the wealthy or on the higher income people. Or one great idea that I actually think would be brilliant would be to finally do what we need to do, which is institute a carbon tax. And then you would basically effectively take the proceeds from the carbon tax and in effect refund it to individuals.
What's the benefit of giving this? Is it income redistribution, you know, tax the wealthy, give to the poor? Is it trying to solve income inequality, or what's the underlying reason for doing this?
I think different people are in favor of it for different reasons. One of the interesting things about the UBI is that people on the left and the right have been in favor of different forms of it over the last, say, 40 or 50 years.
But on the left and right.
On the left and the right. So on the right, people like it because it's very simple. It gets the government out of the business of telling people, you can spend your money on this, you can't spend it on that.
In terms of like benefits like food stamps
food
or things
stamps
like that.
Or Section 8 housing vouchers, things like that. On the left, people like it in part because it does have a redistributive element, presumably. But I actually think the biggest case for it is something different and is connected to how this segment opened. And that is that there are two things it does. One is it provides workers with a kind of baseline of income that improves their bargaining power. The other thing it does is in the event that this automated future that everyone is worried about arrives, it will provide a kind of mechanism for at least mildly redistributing income from the people who own the robots to those who have been displaced by them.
So I'm not going to take a bad job or not going to take this salary because I know that I have this base income that's coming to me. And at the same time, if my job were to be eliminated and because of technology and I have to take on a service sector job, for example, that pays much less than a manufacturing job, I would have this, you know, addition to my salary that would help me out.
Right, exactly. And on the first point about this kind of ability to say no, or at least ability to ask for more pay, that's good probably in and of itself, since as we know, worker bargaining power has really diminished significantly. But it also has another benefit, which is it actually encourages people or gives people the ability to invest more in their own skills, to invest more in education. So when experiments with a basic income guarantee have been done in the past, one of the things you see is that high school kids stay in school for longer and are much more likely to graduate. And you also see people go to college more often than they otherwise would.
Why is it getting so much attention right now?
Well, it's getting attention in part because there are places that are doing experiments with it. So Finland is going to be doing an experiment with it. The Dutch have been doing it in a couple of cities. I think the main reason it's getting a lot of attention now is the combination of stagnant wages and then people's anxiety about automation. And I think that's really what's propelling people's interest in it.
There's a lot of talk out there right now about this as an idea. It seems so unlikely that something like this could happen, and yet at the same time, there's something appealing about it.
No, I think that's right. And I think, you know, Social Security and Medicare both seem totally improbable as well. Certainly in the United States, I mean, government pensions didn't even exist anywhere until the 1920s. So while they were had been common in Germany and places like that, it just seemed like not the kind of thing you would want the government to do. And then that changed almost overnight.
But what is the likelihood that something like this could happen in this country? I could see those very arguments. You're just paying people to not work. Some of the same arguments that happened during the reform of welfare.
Yeah. I think it is incredibly unlikely anytime soon.
And yet people are talking about it
now.
Yeah.
So let me say a couple things. One is the UBI has certain benefits over—
UBI, universal—
Yeah, sorry. The universal basic income has certain benefits over traditional welfare. One is that in theory, if you let everyone get it— even if for very rich people, it's probably just going to be taxed away. It builds a kind of sense of, you know, solidarity, right? It's an entitlement rather than a gift or a handout. So everyone gets Social Security. Social Security is actually redistributive, right? So you get a lot more than you pay into it if you earn less. And yet, generally speaking, Social Security is pretty popular. Medicare, the same thing. So universal programs, I think, in general are better at enduring. The other thing about the UBI that I think it has going for it is the future. And that is this question of if we do get to a point where more and more people are dropping out of the workforce because there simply are not good enough jobs anymore because robots are doing those jobs or whatever it is, then I think the case for a UBI becomes much, much stronger. And so, you know, one of the things I said in this column I wrote about it was that it is the kind of idea that I could see going from wholly improbable to really popular in a very short period of time. But I certainly think in the short run, impossible to imagine even Democrats, let alone the GOP, actually voting for it.
James Surowiecki writes the financial page for The New Yorker. James, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.